Aloha mai kakou. Welcome to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story. Talk Story, or Vala'au in Hawaiian, loosely translated, means conversing and communicating. In our KKCR studio today, I am so happy to welcome Hawaii's top-selling female vocalist of all time, singer and songwriter, Amy Hanaialii. Amy's success speaks for itself, evidenced by a multitude of awards and acknowledgments, including 5 Grammy nominations for Best Hawaiian Music Album. Her 18 Nahoko Hanohano Award wins, Hawaii's equivalent to the Grammy Awards, are in the following categories: Female Vocalist of the Year, Hawaiian Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Group of the Year, Christmas Album of the Year, Contemporary Album of the Year, along with many others. Amy has played for sold-out crowds in Europe, Japan, China, all across America, and French Polynesia. Alongside and recording with the best, Amy has performed live and open for renowned artists like Earth, Wind & Fire, Carlos Santana, Boz Scaggs, Diana Krall, Joe Cocker, and many more. It's time to learn more. Let's sit back, relax, and talk story. Aloha kakahiaka. Welcome, Amy.
Aloha. Thank you for having us.
Welcome, Jeff. Aloha. I'm so thrilled to have you both here in our KKCR studio for this edition of Talk Story. Amy, you've been named as Hawaii's Ambassador of Aloha by Hawaii's governor and traveled worldwide sharing your music and aloha. You're a beloved music superstar, manawahine mom, business entrepreneur, and you have those great, delicious Hanaialii wines. You're a member of the Board of Governors at Hawaii Academy of Recording Arts, Dame Commander at Royal Order of the Crown of Hawaii, Vice President at Hui Ova'a Kaulua, and board member of the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation. Tell us how this all happened.
Holy moles. Well, what was the first one you mentioned on there?
The Ambassador of Aloha.
Right. So I had the opportunity of going to China with Governor Linda Lingle and performed in the Great Hall of the People in Tiananmen Square. And it was the first time anybody in the history of the Great Hall of the People ever performed live in there. And it was with this lovely lady, Yui Sai Khan, who is from China, who I understand is one of the wealthiest women of China. And Governor Linda Lingle was opening a D-bed office in Beijing. So on that trip, she had pulled me aside and said, I would like to dub you Ambassador of Hawaiian Music. So I, okay, thank you so much. And so from that moment on, that's what my title has been with her. As you know, she's no longer a governor. She hasn't been for a long time, but she's a very dear friend from when I was really, really little with my father. So that's how that came about. But I've actually been, you know, with my touring and, you know, being a mom, a full-time mom, and my mother living with me, and the house is the estrogen house, you know. and I just, you know, I really love being on the boards that I'm on outside of my, you know, entertainment career. I've been on Native Arts and Cultures Foundation board for a while now, and that's a national board out of Oregon. What we do is we award fellowships to artists, whether you're basket weaving or music or pottery, or we go out into the Native tribes, Native American Indian tribes, and we find people that need money to perpetuate their culture. So whether it's Native American Indian or Native Hawaiian or Native Alaskan, those are the three that we target. And so we kind of get money from the outside and we filter it through us to put it into the native artists. And that's very rewarding. You know, I mean, we're basically becoming the elders of the tribes, you know. Like, for instance, I was just in Arizona on a board meeting, and there was this really beautiful artist that was an old timer, and he was one of the last bow makers, like a bow and arrow. And he made a bow out of the agave plant. And then we would award him a fellowship, and he would in turn teach it to the younger generation, even if it's one or if it's, you know, five or 10. And he would hold these classes and workshops to teach them how to do that. And then the center of the agave plant, he made a flute. And this has been carrying on for generations in his tribal land. So that's a really, really fun board that I sit on doing that kind of work. And then Hawaii Academy of Recording Arts is our Hoku Awards. And, you know, I've been a member forever. You know, I've had a lot of wonderful experiences, wonderful albums, you know, accolades from the Hoku Awards. At least I could do is give back to them. So, you know, I'm just kind of monitoring and watching, you know, trying to bring medical to our artists and, you know, just kind of create more. Medical is a huge one. Medical for entertainers in Hawaii is huge.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to look out for those type of opportunities for them. It kind of help keep it on track a little bit more. But it's been really fun. Really, really fun. And then Huiova Kaulua is the other board I sit on. And that is for Mo'okiha Opi'ilani, which is our double hull canoe out of Maui. And we're bringing 14,000 Maui students on board to learn celestial navigation, which is huge.
Wow.
She's the daughter of Hokulea. And my oldest brother is the kapena. He's the builder of that canoe and is also a captain on Hokulea. So as you know, each island has their own double hull canoe and they only navigate by the stars. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. Pretty, pretty amazing. So I'm a little bit busy.
Yeah. I know. You really wear a lot of hats. What song would you like to start with?
We could start with Aloha no Kalakaua.
I love that song. I love that song.
So, you know, Aloha no Kalakaua is it's a very interesting song because part of the area that I wrote about is no longer there because Tutu Pele, the lava flow, took it out. And you know, Lili Kalaka Me'ile Hiva was the professor up at University of Hawaii Hawaiian Studies, Kamakakua Kalani, that area. She was helping me with a lot of translations at the time, and I told her, I really am feeling this song, Aloha no Kalakaua. So I sat down, I wrote out all the words, and I you know, when I write Hawaiian music, because I don't speak fluent Hawaiian, I poetically think Hawaiian. So when I work with a translator, I want the translation of what's in my head and in my heart translated. So it was very important that she translated it the way that I felt it. So this song, I told her I went to Mary Monarch and I was sitting in the front row. I just thought there's such a renaissance of hula right now and Hawaiian language. What would the world be if we didn't have any hula in it? You know, because hula is so important to our culture. So important for expression of bringing our songs to life, you know. And, you know, traveling and touring Japan so much, it's like the craziness of hula over there, you know. What would happen if that just never existed, if it was just completely wiped out and never came back? And so this melody started coming in my head and then the lyrics, and then I worked with Willie on it and we came up with this song, Aloha no Kalakaua, thanking our great king for bringing back hula to our people.
Kamo I hano hano no ia e ka lehu lehu o Hawaii aloha no kalaka ka oha oia e ke ali I ka hoi hoi o ka hula a o ka hula no ka o iwi kone kone baole I ka pū. Kahalia, ohi a kahaa. kaua noe noe o kanile hua ho'opulu I ka puna vai a kia ali. Ke no noi e hula ana mako ano mahalo vale e ke ali aloha no kalaka uluhi apa kahali a o hi a ka a I ka ua o ka ua noe noe o kanile hua ho o pulu I ka puna mai a ke ali a ka ino mau ke no no Mahalo vale e ke ali aloha no kalaka.
Was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, that's I love your voice.
Thank
it
you.
It makes my heart feel so warm and open.
Oh.
I love the way that you compose your songs and the meaning behind the songs. And
thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell me how the culture role and learning to write in Hawaiian, how did that all come together?
You know, that's been an interesting journey. You know, I'm Hawaiian, of course, so I grew up singing Hawaiian music with my tutu, but I went kind of more into music school. You know, went to high school, Baldwin High School, and I was very fortunate to have a very strong teacher, mentor, Miss Loudon, that drama teacher that kind of pushed me hard into theater. And so I auditioned to get into a school in San Diego, and I had to audition every year to get back into school. I had to keep my weight down. I had to audition to get into school because they were popping out entertainers right and left, you know, and keeping them very disciplined. So my school was hard. I mean, we had academics, and we had, like, my normal day at school would be private voice lesson in the morning, and then I'd do regular academics, you know, whatever. Math or, you know, like a normal university. And then we'd have a classical choir and we would do like Requiem and Carmina Burana and we do all kinds of pieces. And then do a dance class, do a ballet class, and then go back to, you know, back to regular school, then go back to modern or tap or jazz or whatever it was. And then we did 7 shows in a week. At Old Town Playhouse. That was our theater in San Diego. So it was a little bit hardcore, school was. So that taught me some major, major discipline. Then came home, and then my tutu was like, it's great you're singing, you know, Hello Dolly and Aldonza and Man of La Mancha and all this, but you need to, like, I think you should go into Hawaiian music full time. I was like, what? And then I started listening to, you know, Auntie Janoa and Auntie Lena Alahaili, and I had long talks with Auntie Janoa about what I wanted to do, what direction I wanted to go in, because she knew I loved to sing ha'i, female falsetto, but I wanted to make my own style. You know, I wanted to do the old style as well, but I wanted to kind of incorporate everything I ever learned into my music. So I kind of did that. She had long talks with her, and, you know, she was like, you just do what you got to do, you know, keep that old style, but, you know, create something new. So 16 albums later, I kind of just did my thing and was very fortunate to come out of the gate with Willie, with Willie Kay. And I'd actually, the real story is I was singing at the Ritz-Carlton. I was, my first professional job was singing in the Anui Nui room, and mostly jazz and pop, a little bit Hawaiian, musical theater. And then Kili'i Taua, who is a very revered kumu here in Hawaii, he came to see me one night, and he knew my tutu, and he said, "Hey, I think I need to let you listen. I think I need to let John DeMello listen to your voice." And I was doing, like, you know, "I Will Always Love You" and every Whitney Houston song, you know, at the Ritz.
Yeah, right.
And so he's like, "I think you need to be doing something else." So he let John DeMello listen to my listen to me live over the phone. He was holding the phone up in the room.
Wow.
And then John was like, "I'm gonna sign with her right now." So, and I was like, "Sign what? What am I doing?" Like, you know, that's like old music style. So he's like, "Yeah, I want you to come in and do 4 albums with me. And I want to hook you up with a producer." And I was like, "Okay." So I said, "Well, who is the producer going to be?" And he's like, he's like, "Willie Kay." And I'm like, "Who?" You know, because he's way older than me. And I didn't grow up in the bars in Lahaina where he was playing, or, you know, I'm way younger than him. So everything I had learned, all this classic training and discipline and, you know, flew all out the window, you know. And then I go to see him at his gig and his hair is out to here and he's shredding on his, shredding heavy metal. And I'm just like, "This is my producer?" And so he said, "Yeah, just trust me on this." So then I started working with Willie, and I just, Hawaiian Tradition, we wrote the whole album together. And it was, you know, being so controlled in my music theater world and then breaking that fourth wall, and now I got to talk to the audience, you know, kind of just, it was very awkward for me. And he pulled that out of me. He's like, "You need to make them cry. You need to make them laugh. You need to make them exhausted by the time they leave your show." And I was like, "Okay." So then everything that I had learned in going into the recording studio, he was small kind brutal on me. He was brutal on me, but I understood, and I was already disciplined from school, so I just respected it and I trusted him, and that was the main thing. And then we just wrote Hawaiian Tradition. It was a completely different sound here in Hawaii, and then I just fell in love with it, and we just kept writing and writing and writing and writing. That was it.
Now, I believe I read somewhere that that was the first Hawaiian album totally written, composed, all the songs, in to hit the world Billboard charts. That's a huge, huge success.
Yeah, it was crazy. We were in Los Angeles, and we had just played the House of Blues, and Willie likes to shop. A lot of people don't know that, but he actually does love to shop. We were shopping, and we were in this really cool, funky, weird store, and then Mountain Apple shot me over this message, and I was like, "Oh my gosh." He's like, "What?" I go, "This is the first Hawaiian album ever on World Billboard charts, like all in Hawaiian." It's like, he was like, "What?" So yeah, that was awesome. We didn't even know that was even happening, you know.
I love that album, and I love the picture of you on the front with your tutu.
Yeah, that was taken at Bailey House Museum.
Really special.
Yeah,
really special.
You know, I when my grandmother was alive during those two albums, or actually, even through Nostalgia. You know, I'd have her in the studio because she spoke fluent Hawaiian. And so if she twitched, then I knew, oh, I did something wrong. You know, I have to do it over again. Yeah, it was wonderful having her in the studio.
Wow. So wonderful to have such a mentor and an inspiration so dear to your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was hardcore, but she was an amazing woman. She was a trailblazer, like crazy trailblazer. Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about her career?
Yeah, I can. You know, my grandmother was 90 when she passed, and she would come out she'd get everybody out at 2:00 in the morning, put them all in the living room, and she'd say, "Hey, we're going to do a show." Like, what? Everybody come out of the bedrooms. "We're going to do a show." And she'd get her ipu going, and okay, your alto, your soprano, your bass, your tenor. Now, and we just put on a show like 2:00 in the morning and then go back to sleep an hour later, because that's what she wanted to do. But so my grandmother My grandmother was actually born in Waikele on Oahu in the ranch camps, and was raised in Haleiwa and in Molokai, because all my lineage comes from Molokai, and my great grandmother lived in Molokai. And so she'd go back and forth. But, you know, in that time period, she was one of the original World Hawaiian Hula dancers with Auntie Pulani Mossman and one more other auntie. And, you know, they were doing their thing in Waikiki and in the Glee Club and all these clubs in Waikiki. She was swimming at the Natatorium with Uncle Duke Hanamoku and Buster Crab. And I realized that's how she met Eleanor Powell. Later, she worked with her in the movies, but was from the Natatorium because Eleanor Powell swam in the Natatorium. I never knew that. So she was asked, there was this Mr. Wise Bar came from New York and saw the show at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel with Uncle Ray Kinney. And they, back then, they had a rhythm section, but they had a whole orchestra behind the rhythm section. And so, you know, they were all in their suits with their Kamehameha emblem and, you know, their leis. And it was just like, so they wanted to take the show to New York. And my grandmother was only 19 years old. So they said, oh, we want to bring this show to the Lexington Hotel and open the famous Hawaiian Room. So my great-grandmother said, the only way you can go is if you take your sister Lillian. So my auntie Lillian went with in that first batch of Hawaiians to go into the Hawaiian Room in the Lexington Hotel. And I tell this story on the mic because I'm just so blown away that the room was so successful. It was open for 60 years, sold out 7 shows a week, and it opened all the famous clubs in New York, you know, the Cotton Club, the Red Rooster in Harlem. It opened the famous Red Rainbow Room.
Wow.
Like, a lot of people don't know, and it's the Rainbow Room's still open to this day, but that was a Hawaiian show that did that. So my grandmother, my grandfather was playing at the Commodore and used to go secretly down and watch the show. And Grandpa Sam Koki was playing steel guitar at the time. And but he was falling in love with my grandmother. He was trying to learn how to play steel guitar. And so I guess my grandmother got a very rare blood disease, septicemia, and needed to be taken home to Hawaii. But Pearl Harbor had just happened, so she couldn't come home. And she was really, really sick. And so my grandfather went to Queens Hospital and donated his blood. And 2 weeks later, they were married.
Wow. Wow.
How's that?
Oh, wow.
How is that?
True love.
Unbelievable, you know. And he was playing at the Commodore with the Dorsey Brothers. He played with a lot of big bands back in the day there. Yeah. Yeah, unreal.
Would you like to sing another song?
I can if you want.
Sure.
Okay. So let's do Manu'oku. That'll be fun. So Manu'oku came to fruition because Keli'i Tawa, one of my writing partners, is the kumu for our canoe and the teacher of our canoe. And he is an amazing man. I mean, talk about ancient Hawaii. It's just all in his brain. And so the area where Huiava'a Kaulua is in Lahaina, Maui, 525 Friend Street, that area is a place called Moku'ula. And there is an island that was there in the old days that Kihawahine, our mo'o deity, lived on. And all of our ali'i nui revered, took her everywhere. I mean, they, you know, to have her on, you know, as your aumakua, it was huge in those days. And so all of our canoes were birthed in that area, in that 525 Friend Street area. And so we named our canoe Mo'okiha'o Pi'ilani in honor of Pi'ilani, our great chief, but also to Kiawahine. And Kiawahine was a guardian of children as well. And, you know, you go down there and, you know, sometimes late at night or real early in the morning, you can see her from time to time. It's amazing. It's a magical, magical place. And they're working on bringing that back to how it was in the old days with the moat around the island. Mm-hmm. They're going to call it District 1, where there's plenty of bones over there. That's where our li'i, it was like their playground over there, especially Pi'ilani, way, 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 way back. So this song, Manu'oku, is significant to that place because of Keli'i Tawa writing the lyrics to it. I wrote the melody to it. And, you know, we did our worldwide voyage with Hokulea for 3 years. My brother was on a couple of the legs, one in South Africa and Massachusetts and all kinds of obscure places. But, you know, she was really our so important to exactly what Hawaii is, which is the aloha spirit, and really moving people and moving all the indigenous people of America to come and greet her, and Hawaiians at heart, and, you know, just to witness that, you know. And so Manu'oku is the white-turned bird that guides the crew when they can't see anything, when they can't see, you know, the horizon or the tides, or this little white-turned bird comes along and she makes a noise that goes ku'e, K-U, okina, E. So I do a lot of audience participation on this, which is super fun. You ready?
Yeah.
You guys can help me with the ku'e part, okay? Lele aku ka manu'oku, lele I kai hohonu'e, ho'i mai ka manu'oku, ho'i I ka pūnana'e. Ku'e, 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 ho'i mai ka manu'oku. Lele aku ka manu'oku, lele I kai hohonu'e, ho'i mai ka manu'oku, ho'i mai me ka mea ai ono e. Here we go. Ku'e, ku'e, ku'e. Come on, everybody. Ku'e, ho'i mai ka manu'oku. E manu ke oke o I ka ina ku'e, e manu li'ili'i I ka moana. Ka ho ai lona no ka wa'a hokulea I ke ana I ka moku o ka pāki pika. Manu ke oke o I ka ina ku'e, manu li'ili'i I ka moana. Ka ho ai lona no ka wa'a hokulea I ke ana I ka moku o ka pāki pika. Manu li ili I kui kawa, e oe ka manu oku, lele aku a hoi haina e. Ku'e, 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 hoi mai ka manu oku. E manu ke oke o I ka ina ku'e, e manu li ili I ka moana. Ka ho ai lona no ka wa'a hukulea I ke ana I ka moku o ka pāki pika. Manu ke oke o I ka ina ku'e, e manu li ili I ka moana. Ka ho ai lona no ka wa'a hukulea I ke ana I ka moku o ka pāki pika. Good job there.
Oh, thank you.
Singing
Amy.
The kue part.
That was fun. All right. Fun. You've been listening to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story. I'm Linda Lester K. Ali. Stay tuned for the second half of our very special time with one of Hawaii's most popular female vocalists, Amy Hanaialii. I wanted to talk a little bit about your family. Mm-hmm. Your brother Eric is an entertainer.
Yep.
You come from a family of entertainers. You kind of started out as wanting to do musicals. You did Evita
right.
in high school.
Yep.
And
You know, I was very fortunate growing up on Maui that I was at a very young age went into Maui Youth Theater, and it was a most magical, incredible place to grow up. I knew that my family was in entertainment, but I didn't know the depth of what my tutu was until I got way older. Because my grandmother was always around, but she was eccentric, and her house looked like a, you know, she lived across from Manakai and Kihei, and when it was still the, you know, field up there. And, you know, you came up to her house and it was, you know, movie sets and palm trees and big containers of ipus and, you know, costumes from Tahiti. And it was just a very crazy place to grow up. But then she had goats in the backyard, you know. And
wow.
And so I grew up, you know, studying theater very hard. And I recommend that for any child growing up is to get into theater, because it just breaks down all the barriers and the walls and the, you know, it just makes you a better person. And as you get older in life, it helps you, you know, with communication and how to deal with life. And so then I would always been told to go to college. If you can audition and get into the school, it's half the battle. You're going to get rid of half the wannabes, you know, because you're taking it very serious. So I had some really hardcore teachers at school, you know, and was very fortunate to have that. I don't think I really had a choice of what I was going to do. It just, I don't do anything else. I mean, I do business and stuff like that, but you know, of course, the wine, and I do all my own booking and stuff like that, and I have for years. But I don't know. I've just always been an entertainer. I just always needed something to kind of express who I was. And I tell this story on the mic because I think it's just hilarious that the school I went to, we had a lot of equity actors there, and they would bring them up from Los Angeles and New York and all over trying to teach us how to, you know, be better actors on stage. And so we had a lot of really great entertainers come out of my school, Jamie Foxx being one of them, John Barman, who's on Broadway, Adam Pelty, who's on, these are all really great Broadway actors. And I remember going up to Los Angeles to audition across from the Hollywood Bowl. There's this big white church. And we'd all go up there, and if there were, like, you know, Les Mis, the touring company coming through, or Cats or something, we'd all go up to audition. And so my number in line for the role of Fantine was 7,392. That was my number.
Wow.
So we waited on a sidewalk for 3 whole days. And so I remember taking Jamie with me, whose name was Eric Bishop at the time. And I said, hey, you're coming with me, you know, to go up to audition for this show. He's like, are there African-Americans in this show? I'm like, I don't know, but you're going to come audition with me and you're going to come with me. So, you know, thank goodness my family's from Molokai, because I had a hibachi, I had kimchi, I had kalbi ribs, I had a rice pot. Everybody else was starving because you can't leave the line. Like, wow. a mile of people, wow, to go into audition for this role. And I was like, oh, this is just weird. You know, this is just, I want to say more with my music. So I remember going up, and I remember having my picture on my chest, my resume, and I didn't even open my mouth. It was just next. Like, I didn't even get to, you know, nothing.
Wow.
Next. So I remember walking out and seeing, you know, Natalie Cole's name up in neon lights. And I was like, that's what I want to do. That titta is fabulous. Then I came home. And I went to the Blaisdell Arena. She was doing that big show with the orchestra, with big swags of white chiffon and pillars. And then her father came out of the ceiling. I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's what I want to do. He came down doing Unforgettable.
Oh.
That's what I want to do. So that just kind of pushed me even further. And then I came home. My grandmother was like, and then I worked with Willie, and boom. You know the movie A Star Is Born?
Mm-hmm.
That is the story of mine and Willie's life. Like, I bawled watching that movie because when I first came out on the scene, Willie threw me out in front of 50,000 people.
Wow.
Like, just, okay, come sing. I was like, a song I just wrote? Yeah, come sing the song. It wasn't 50,000. Whoa, that one was 50,000. The one downtown Honolulu was about 20,000 people. Remember we used to have those big radio station bashes down
mm-hmm,
there?
Right.
And I remember, like, the movie is identical because I remember him thrusting me out in front of everybody. Oh, this is Amy from Maui. like, boom, I started singing Hale Iwahula or something, and the place erupted. And then I remember walking off stage and then Willie leaving. Israel Kamakavivo'ole was coming in an ambulance to come up on stage. They were going to bring him up on stage.
Wow.
And I remember people whipping out my hair and like grabbing. I was walking through the crowd and I was like, where's Willie? I was trying to get to Willie, like that scene in A Star Is Born.
Right, right.
Trying to get to him. And it freaked me out. I was like, what is going on? This is crazy. So yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot going on with that movie and the story of Willie and I. Not the ending, but there's a lot of similarities. Yeah.
I wondered if you came out of the womb singing, you know, singing and dancing and
you know what's so funny? Okay, I grew up in Maui Youth Theater, but I didn't like sing a song. Okay. So from Maui Youth Theater, we went to Baldwin High School, and our drama teacher, Sue Ann Loudon, was really hardcore. I mean, I could take apart any lighting equipment in here. You know, I could splice anything. We grew up hands-on, you know, with drill guns and, you know, saws. We learned how to do all of that in high school. I mean, she was adamant about that. So Baldwin High School was a very important piece to my career. I remember my middle brother Eric is 5 years older than me. My oldest brother is 10 years older than me. And Eric said, oh, we have this. It was a very big deal to have the drama banquet because you became a thespian. I became thespian 3135. And even though I was much younger than 5 years younger than my brother, he's like, you're going to come sing with me. And I was like, what? Really? No, I don't want to do that. And so the first song I ever sang live in front of a whole crowd was Wherever You Go, Wherever You May Wander in Your Life, Surely You Know I'll Always Want to Be There. So I sang it barefoot in my mu'u, pacing back and forth on the stage. I was so nervous. I was in front of all these theater kids. And that was a very interesting moment in my career. That was the first time I ever sang live.
Wow. I love that song. You can sing so many different styles, you know. I love your album, Friends and Family, because you're singing in each song. You're singing with all these
in their genre.
Fabulous men. You're singing in their own genre. So it's just fantastic, from Polani Vaughn, you know, to Sean Nawal, to, you know, I mean, just, and Willie Nelson. Mm-hmm.
That was a fun album, yeah. You know, I thought to myself, because, you know, people don't realize that artists are very multidimensional, you know. We sing many other different genres, but they always want to hear the Palihula and the Hale Iwahula, mm-hmm. which I'm grateful for, but I need to grow as an artist. And so I thought, maybe if I sing in their genre, nobody will get mad at me for not singing my normal style.
Mm-hmm.
I had so much fun on that. There's so many stories about that. We recorded at Jack Johnson's studio, and we had the whole string section in his living room. You remember that?
Yeah.
It was in his living room because it's small. You know, it's about the size of this studio. And then I always wanted to record with Darren Benitez. And my producer at the time, this guy Alan Sviridov and Matt Katengob from the orchestra, he was from the mainland. He just didn't understand how we work over here. So here comes Darren Benitez singing Ho'onanea with me, singing higher than me. And he comes in with his, you know, his six-pack and his cooler of dry aku, and stunk up the whole studio. I mean, you know, and my producer is like, really? I go, you just need to let him drink a little bit more and it'll get much sweeter and much sweeter. Boom, after the third Inu, we recorded that track, and he was just, his mouth fell on the floor. He's like, I can't believe how this guy sings. I said, I told you, just gotta relax, it's all good. Yeah, that was an amazing. That we had rebel soldiers on that. A lot of people don't realize I had rebel soldiers on that, the reggae group.
Wow. I want to talk a little bit about music being a universal language and the connection of Hawaiian music along with other types of music, mm-hmm. like country or jazz. Or how do you feel about that?
You know, music is so healing. I always tried to write and record positive music, because I think what goes into your ears is really important. I just think, you know, I love all styles of music. I just like positive music.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it's important what goes into your ears,
right?
You know,
right?
What goes into your soul, into your spirit, is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever language it is in,
it's music. We need it as human beings.
Yeah, I don't know how the world would be if there was no music. It would be crazy, right? You know. I mean, it would just. I mean, I saw this documentary on a girl who had heard music for the first time, with this whole apparatus that she puts on in her ears and carries on her. And she just bawled the first time she could hear just a faint sound of music, you know. I think it's so important. The vibration of music is so important in a person's body, I think. It's like going to the ocean. It's like walking on the beach, you know. It's that same important vibration that you need in your body, especially in indigenous cultures as well. You know, when I say indigenous cultures, whether you're pure German or your ancestry comes from Germany or France or Ireland or Hawaii or Samoa or Tonga, when you go back to the pico of your existence of where your family comes from, those are all indigenous values that they had. They believed in the rain and the wind. And, you know, when I recorded the Aumakua album and people would come up to me and say, oh, I have an Aumakua, it's an owl. And I'm like, well, are you Hawaiian? They're like, no. Then you don't have an Aumakua. I have an Aumakua because I'm Hawaiian. But if you go back to where your people come from in Germany, what's your ancestry? I said, oh, I'm German, I'm French, and I'm Irish. Okay, go research your genealogy and go find out what their Aumakua is called, and that's what you are. That's what yours is. Oh, now do you get? Oh, I completely understand now. Sure enough, next concert I went back. This was at Redondo Beach. Next time I went back, she was so excited. She came up to me, she's like, oh my gosh, my family in Ireland has a type of Aumakua, and it's da 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 da. Let me guess, it's an owl. Yes. How did you know that? Because you told me that the last time you were here.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, yeah.
The Aumakua album is one of my favorite albums, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your gift is definitely music, Amy. You,
aww.
Yeah, you just have such a beautiful gift, and it's such a gift that you share with us. I love your music.
Thank
so,
you.
So much.
Thank you.
And I'm just wondering if you'd like to sing another song.
Sure.
For us.
What would you like to do, Jeffy? You want to do the Go and Go Church?
Let's go to church.
Okay. So this song... you know, Willie and I hadn't worked together in almost 10 years. He kind of went his way. I went my way with our careers. And we were in the studio. We recorded the album Reunion. And I came to him and I said, you know, I wrote this song. I don't know. I was watching Hallmark Channel and I wrote this song. And I was so passionate about, you know, them wanting to bulldoze this church. And so he's like, well, let's go to church. Let's do a full gospel. I was like, all right. So we came. I wrote this song called Down by the River. Something a little different. There's a peaceful feeling deep in my soul. A place where I like to be alone. It reminds me of the walks down by the river, the walks where I cleanse my soul, the cool water felt so soft. It opens my heart when I'm feeling low. It helps me to understand that my life is greater than any doubts or worries I don't understand.
take me back to that place, yeah, where that cool, calming feeling lives within. I will count my blessings by the water.
You're back in the studio.
I'm going back in the studio. I'm just finishing writing this project, but I'm super stoked. Yeah, one of my favorite places to record is out in Hawaii Kai at the studio out there. It's just pristine, and I love the view. I love to be in that vocal booth. And I learned a lot from my engineer, Milan Bertosa, who I've recorded a lot of albums with, just on mic technique and, you know, creating my own type of recording. So we're going to go back out there. But there's some exciting stuff on the new album. So I'm super stoked about that. Some new artists that I'm collaborating with.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow. I can't wait till it comes out. That's for sure.
Me too.
What encouragement would you give to inspire the younger generation, inspiring recording artists? What's the best suggestion you can give to someone that says, oh, I love to sing. I want to record. What do you suggest?
You know, it's a very big difference singing cover tunes than actually composing your own songs. Because your compositions, your personal compositions are your life. You know, in 16 albums, I've lived a lot in 16 albums. I've gone through a lot of hardships, a lot of broken heart, a lot of happy times. My daughter was born. I mean, you know, a lot of happiness in those albums as well. But that's what makes you a very well-rounded artist, you mm-hmm. know. And I would say, if you're going to go into the entertainment world, you have to be present in the moment 24/7, and you have to be real. Like, people will sniff out fakeness in a heartbeat, you know. and just be true to yourself and write about what you believe in. You know, there's a place in this world for everybody. Musically, there's a place for everyone in the world. The world is huge. There's a lot of ears out there, you know, of you know, and you just got to absolutely believe in yourself. And always giving back. You always got to give back something. You can't expect anything or be entitled to anything. You always have to be giving back. That would be my advice.
You mentioned Japan, and you, how many halau are in Japan?
Well, I know that there's, well, I was saying 3 million Japanese hula dancers way back 10 years ago. So there must be another,
who knows, man?
There must be another, you know,
way more than our
another
population,
million probably.
Population.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy. The tour that I'm doing in June, I do, you know, these big houses, Orchard Hall, and they hold 3,000-4,000 people, mm-hmm. and it's packed. I mean, wow. they want to see the halaus. The first half of the show is all hula schools in Japan that only dance my music. Then the second half of the show is my show, because I gotta, you know, I gotta get off too.
Right.
And it's crazy. I mean, in that time period, in those 20 days, I'll probably do close to maybe 60,000 people in those 60,000 people in that time.
And you're singing for how many dancers in front of you?
Well, like each show that I do solo tours. So each show I do probably has about maybe 10 or 12 halaus on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Hala Iva Hula?
Yeah.
You want to sing that?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Sure. So Hala Iva Hula is a song that my tutu wrote. A lot of people don't know that Hala Iva actually had the Hala Iva Hotel, where all the dignitaries from around the world stayed, presidents and celebrities. And I don't know why they tore it down, but I think it was the same time period as Moana Surf Rider, Royal Hawaiian Hotel. It was that same time period. So my grandmother actually wrote the song about that hotel in that area. So here we go.
Amy, is there anything else on the horizon you'd like to share with us?
Sure. You know, I have a very successful wine company here in Hawaii called Hanaili'i Wines. They're all from Napa. They're all gold award winning blind taste testing in Sonoma and LA wine competition. And they've done really, really well. It's a tattoo on my arm on the bottle. And so I'm pushing all of those wines up into reserve, and you can get them at Tomura's or Long's or Safeway or anywhere my music is at, you can get it. Costco sells a lot of wine. I'm coming out with just a wine called Amy, and it's a white and a red blend with Temecula and Mendocino blend, a California blend, and I'm pushing it all into the States, in the States and the mainland. And I'm doing some really hardcore touring this year, where I'm taking my tour bus, and it's going to have a Pro Tools on board. So I'll be recording, wherever I go. But I'm teaming up. The white blend is going to have part of the proceeds are going to go to autism, and the red blend part of the proceeds are going to go to Native Arts and Cultures Foundation. Mm-hmm. So I'll be touring with my tour bus, and it's going to be creating a social frenzy. But I'm wrapping my wines around my tour bus, the mm-hmm. signage, mm-hmm. and I'll be live on board with GoPros, and we got all kinds of funky stuff that we're doing, and doing wine tastings across America, doing a lot of the galas for autism, and a lot of ho'ike's for halaus, mm-hmm. And of course my own performance, my own concerts. But I'm gonna put my sparkling wine is called Tiny Bubbles. So I'm gonna put my bottle on the back of my tour bus with a little bubble machine coming out
oh,
the back.
Great. So cute.
Because I think it'll make so many people happy, mm-hmm. singing Tiny Bubbles on the freeway. I mean, mm-hmm. that you can't pay for that kind of advertising. So it's gonna be fun. And if you ever wanna check me out, just go to Amy Hawaii, and my website pops up. Sometimes it's hard to spell my name, so.
Yeah, fans can follow you on Instagram or Facebook mm-hmm. or your website.
Yep.
So you're going to tour in Japan this year.
Yep.
I saw also you're going to go to Arizona. You're going to go to California. You're going to go. So people can look for you. They can watch for your new album.
That's it all in a
busy,
nutshell.
Busy. You're sharing the aloha.
Yeah.
Sharing your music, bringing healing
Absolutely.
To our planet. And gosh, I'm just so grateful to have you in
Thank
my life.
You.
And I'm
Me
so,
too.
So just humbled that you took time to come out to talk story with us today. What a wonderful experience this is for me.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
A lot of people don't know how long we've known each other. A lot of people don't know that I lived here and I was hapai walking on the Hanalei mm-hmm. Beach. Became very close with all the Hanalei families and Kilauea, and that was a very special time here.
It's a really special time for all of us who live here to get a chance to really meet you up close and find out what a wonderful human being you are,
Aww,
how generous you are, and just how kind and how you make everybody feel so special,
Aww,
Amy.
Thank you.
You have such a wonderful gift of heart.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you again, Amy.
Thank you
again, Jeff. And we'll see you soon.
Sure.
KKCR would like to thank Amy Hanaili'i for sharing with us in this edition of Talk Story. Amy was accompanied by Jeff Peterson on guitar and was interviewed by Hawaiian music programmer Linda Lester Ke'ali. Editing and mastering is by Dove Little. Talk Story was recorded in the studios of Kauai Community Radio. For more information about this program and Kauai Community Radio, please visit www.kkcr.org or call 808-826-7774. Funding is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. A hui hou. Until we meet again.